the believer's authority. Just a few things I want to say. I want to mention things. You guys know that there's a recount going on in Arizona, right, for the election. So be praying. That's going to be happening in the next 30 or 40 days. I'm really interested to see what takes place. They're going to recount. I think it's just Maricopa County. 2.1 million ballots are going to be recounted. There's going to be three or four different forensic, you know, software companies that are going to look at the machines for ballots, right? Am I saying it right? There are going to be three or four independent companies looking at that to see if there was anything suspicious there. Let's be praying for what happens there. That could be a catalyst for a lot of things changing. There's like 47 states right now that are trying to tighten up their voting, you know, how we vote and accountability for vote. But all you hear is a small, if you're listening to the media, whatever, you would think nothing's happening. So let's be praying for that. I want to mention a couple things, too, that things that are going on that we can get so focused on just what's going on nationally. Did you know Idaho, their state government just put a huge restriction on abortions when there's a heartbeat? So let's pray that their governor signs that. And I always make it because, look, at people that have been involved in that, and abortions, whatever, I got to know, don't let the enemy bring condemnation. God forgives, totally forgives, 100%. People will start mentioning these things, and I've seen it through the past, even in this church, well, they'll somehow be condemned about that. Jesus forgives. He loves you. Then you could be the biggest voice for truth. Amen? So God taking the things of the past, the things, you know, that he's forgiven. He's healed us from the inside and be a voice to others that need to hear that. Amen? Also, going forward, I don't want to be somebody who just complains about government. I want to be a church that we get involved. How about you? So a few things real quick. So Andrew Womack, it's called Truth and Liberty Coalition. On Monday evenings, truthandliberty.net, or you can even go on Facebook. So they have different people, you know, big players around the country involved in the government, involved with politicians that, you know, that are Christians, that know, that knew President Trump, that know President Trump, that know other senators and leaders that stand for Jesus Christ. So on Mondays, you can go on their website, truthandliberty.net, or you can go on Facebook on Monday evenings and see these things live. They're really powerful. They're really powerful. What that is, Andrew Womack, Truth and Liberty, is for educate, inform, unify, mobilize the Christians to be active in the public square. It's important. Also, ArizonaPolicy.org, ArizonaPolicy.org. That's where you can go and see exactly where bills in Arizona, where bills are at right now. It also gives you a place where you can have pre-generated letters that will be emailed to your politicians. Man, if we did that, sometimes people say, what do I do? And then they'll end up not doing anything. So if you go to ArizonaPolicy.org, there's things where we can generate letters that are automatically emailed to the politicians to know where you stand. Very good. Also, through Liberty, through this Andrew Womack Truth and Liberty, they've got this, it's called Community Impact. It's an outreach of Family Research Council. Anybody heard of the Family Research Council with Tony Perkins? Our church could start a community impact where they do training, where they help us to learn how to have an impact starting in Chino Valley, in our county, in our state. But for us, really, it starts right here, too. We don't want to be looking ahead just nationally, and then we forget what's right in front of us, right? So if you have an interest in this community impact, want to be a part or anything, get a hold of me after the service. We can talk. I can direct you. I'd love to see if that's what it's called, start right here in our church. We've got to start somewhere to make a difference. It's got to be voices. It's got to be voices and more being involved, amen? What it happens is I can hear things and I get so upset. Anybody here else is get boiling angry about things? And then I end up turning it off and not doing anything. I don't want to do that. I don't want to just be a talker about this. Let's get involved in some ways. Amen. Real quick before we go on to to today's service, today's message. So in Arizona, Senate Bill 1457, Senator Bartow's pro-life bill, this is likely will be voted on, so that the state Senate passed this, will be voted on within the next few days, or it's going to be voted on, it already has been. What this bill will protect preborn babies against discrimination by prohibiting abortion based on a genetic condition like Down syndrome. So what it is also, it protects women from the abortion industry's dangerous efforts to sell chemical abortions to women through the mail, leaving them alone at risk of grave illness or even death. Can you believe that? Pray that this is something that Ducey will sign into law. Now, this is important. Discrimination based upon some kind of birth defect. Looking right at that. Amen. All souls are precious in His sight. Amen. All souls are precious in His sight. One thing that I'm bummed about is Governor Ducey, very disappointing that he vetoed a bill that was sent to him that required that, SB 1456 prohibits sex education before fifth grade in Arizona's district and chapter schools. It also required schools provide the sex education curricula for grades 5 through 12, fifth grade through 12th grade, for parents' review first. Parents would then have to opt in their children for sex ed if they so choose. It would also require parents opt in for instructions about HIV, AIDS, sexual orientation, and gender identity, requiring parents to opt in rather than to opt out, right? Better protect students from inadvertent sex ed or sensitive curriculum. Parents do not want their children exposed to it at school, so we have a choice. Well, that was vetoed by Ducey. I don't know why, if he was wanting a little bit of different wording in there, but I just read through this website that I just mentioned to you, the Arizona Policy Org, that he vetoed that. I don't know why. So be careful what you wish for, though. Well, if that was... Okay. So they're going to get him something back, hopefully, to sign. Okay, they have to opt into it, yeah. Yeah. Well, let's hope that's the case, because just signing something that the governor signs can be done away with the next governor. Real quick, because we want to get rolling. Very quick. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, good point. Yeah. So being aware of what's going on, not just in the national. I got into this thing where I was so focused on the national that I forgot what was going on right here in my state. Amen. 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 Give our governor some wisdom and backbone. He's not going to run again. He has nothing. He has, you know, so to say, he doesn't have a dog in a fight anymore. So let's pray that he can stand up for truth. Amen. We're moving on. Believer's Authority, Part 3. Part 3. So we've been talking about today I'm going to talk about what we say has powerful spiritual implications. What we say. Talk about, we know that casting out devils. I mean, we have the authority to cast out devils, amen? We have the authority to speak against the enemy. But as I was studying everything, that God really started showing me the things in between that, day-to-day, authority over the enemy. You know, it's based upon the words that we say. Interesting, I saw this about, it's called the Pig War. It says the amply named Pig War nearly saw an argument of words over a slaughtered swine lead to a full-scale conflict between the United States and Great Britain. The controversy began in 1859 on San Juan Island, a chunk of land located between the mainland of the United States and Vancouver Island. So Britain and the United States had naval ships in a standoff for 2 weeks based upon some words that were spoken. An argument, another war with England almost began, just based over an argument and misunderstanding over a killed pig. So those words that were said led to something that was almost, you know, part of history of men being killed and part of our history just based upon words. I think of the war of words, or how about the words we hear on social media? Powerful words, amen? Have you ever seen words that are spoken that have been devastating to people? Or things that have caused problems? How about misinformation? Or now we know social media, things that are truth and stand for righteousness and truth can't even be placed on social media, amen? So there's just a narrative through what we see written, but it's words, right? Written words. I think of things that can be said that aren't even true. In Proverbs 18:8 in the King James Version, it says, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost part of the belly. Well, I like how in Proverbs 18:8, the Message says it. Listening to gossip is like eating cheap candy. Do you really want junk like that in your belly? So we see, we're going to talk today about the words that we say. How important is it, or about the words that come out of our mouth? I remember there was a time that words or whatever didn't mean much, or I would hear about name it and claim it, blab it and grab it, yearn and burn for, and I would mock it. I would mock it. Oh, that's foolishness. That's foolishness. And then some years ago, as God began to change my life, he started showing me, declaration, what you say, Chad, is very important. Very important. It's maybe the most important thing about your Christian walk is what comes out of your mouth. The things that come out of our mouth. So those things where misinformation was given me about the word of faith is an example. I know that things can go overboard. I know that things can be taken too far. But as you've heard in this church for many years, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Amen? Words. The most powerful thing you have in possession, your possession, is your tongue. Really, it's your tongue. The most powerful part of your body is not your biceps. It's not your good looks. The most powerful thing that you possess is not your job. It's not your education. It's not your ministry, it is your tongue. This thing right here is the most powerful thing that you possess. James 3, 1 through 5 says, in the Passion Translation says, horses have bits and bridles in their mouths so that we can control and guide their large body. And the same with mighty ships. Though they are massive and driven by fierce winds, yet they are steered by a tiny rudder at the direction of the person at the helm. And verse 5, and so the tongue is a small part of the body, yet it carries great power. Just think of how a small flame can set a huge forest ablaze. A small match is an example. So it's saying, hey, look, you know, what can one little match start? You've heard of forest fires being started by a match. Or lighter. The tongue can set things on fire, ablaze. But let me just say before we move on, it can set things ablaze for the good and not just the bad. So when you're looking at this and reading this, thinking that the tongue can also start things afire for righteousness and truth, amen? That's what we're trying to do even in this nation as we try to stand up for righteousness, as we stand up for truth, the things that we're saying, amen? Let me tell you something right now. The things that I believe are happening in this nation aren't because of devils being released. They were released. But I'll tell you, it started with words that were preached in schools and universities. Sowing of the word that were lies and contrary to God is the reason why we are at where we're at now. It all started with words. Your salvation, started with somebody speaking a word as a seed in your heart. The power of the tongue. The power of the tongue. Luke 6:45 in the New American Standard says, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good. And the evil person out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from what that which fills his heart. Let me just say that just because you think, oh man, I can't help it, these things are coming out. You can. So when I say that righteous, not everything that's in my heart necessarily is good and needs to be spoken. What it's saying is the things that I have in my heart, the word of God, I have a choice to declare them. I may feel a certain way, want to say something, but I'm going to go the opposite of that and say this instead. So when it says a good person, say, I'm born again, I understand his word, I understand declaration, and I'm going to say things that are going to be beneficial instead of tearing down. Instead of unbelief, I'm going to declare things that are faith. So the good person is a person that's born again and understands the spoken word. Amen? The words that we say. Very powerful. Faith speaks opposite of what your emotions or thoughts might be saying. This is where declaring the word of God that we're going to talk about is so important. What comes out of our mouth will determine. This is important. This is an absolute truth. If you hear anything today, I pray that your heart would hear this. What comes out of our mouths will determine what direction our lives will go. It's like that rudder or that horse bit. That little rudder on the ship, man, just a little thing and it can go. What you say, I've learned, is exactly the direction my life will go. The mouth, what we say, is so important. It's a foundation, really, in Christianity. If you haven't been taught about things like this, here's the things that maybe you've learned, or you say now, that comes out of our mouths. Well, everything happens for a reason. God will work it out somehow, some way. Amen? I probably deserve that. You deserve that. You got what was coming to you. Words that will come out of our mouths that can direct our lives and really will direct other people's lives. What you say will definitely direct your life. If there's anything I've learned is what comes out of my mouth. I love the word of faith as far as declaring his word. I love saying, Lord, thank you, Jesus, for directing my life. Jesus, I thank you for what you're bringing my way in Jesus' name. If the opposite of that is I don't think you're leading me, Lord. Lord, I don't think that you're helping me. Or, Lord, why did you allow this to happen to me? And as we move on, we'll see why there's a consequence to that. Hey, we've all said a lot of things, by the way, we wish we hadn't. Aren't you thankful for the grace of God? If I could grab all those words and bring it back in, there'd be millions. There'd be a garbage truck full of them, of words. Amen. Proverbs 10:11 says, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Life, our words are life. Amen? Can be life, should be life. Our words are a fountain of life. Amen. Proverbs 18:20. You've heard these. We'll talk about them more today. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. Amen. Proverbs 15:4. A soothing tongue is a tree of life, but perversion, it crushes the spirit. Believing the word, declaring the word. I wanted to go to Hebrews 4:12 as we talk about that. But the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. You've heard this scripture, right? Even penetrating as far as the division of soul and spirit. What I love about declaring the word of God is that it can divide my soul and spirit. So my soul may feel one way, but from the spirit of God that's in me, I'm declaring something opposite. I'm in trouble if I just say the words that come out of my emotions and my soul. They're not filled with faith. They're not. We'll talk about why they're not filled with the purposes of God. They're not the mind of my God and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? The Word of God is sharp. It can pierce. It can pierce between that, and it lets us know, hey, what you're saying is from your soul realm. That's not me. But from the spirit realm there, it can say, this is what you declare. This is the word of God that you're to declare. Amen. Of both joints and marrow, the deepest part of us, God knows about us. And able to judge the thoughts and intents of the heart, the word of God, and even as I'm speaking, the word of God, it lets me know that, Lord, is my mind in the right direction? As I'm declaring the word of God, it puts my heart right there in his direction. Amen. The intents of the heart. Aren't you glad for the word of God? Even when you think of the word of God is not something just to be looked at, to study for, you know, for just bettering my life itself as far as my character. I get that. That's okay. I'm talking about the word of God, his promises that we declare out of our mouths. The things that we believe or want to believe. You know, I think of things where I struggle, like, Lord, do I believe that? I look at scriptures that are promises of God, and I look at those scriptures and I let them start coming out of my mouth. You know, all of us are headed a direction. Do you know what direction you're headed? It's not I'm not looking at somebody saying what direction. It's a good question to ask yourself, Lord, what direction am I heading in my life? What direction am I heading? James 1:26 in the Passion Translation says, if someone believes they have a relationship with God but fails to guard his words, then his heart is drifting away. And his religion is shallow and empty. Drifting away means going a direction. You know, the word of God, declaring his truths, declaring his love for you, it keeps us in a direction. They're talking about those things so that we can say things or do things that will actually allow us to drift away. Let me ask you, if you could think, what comes out of your mouth during the day? That's for me too. What am I saying during the day? What am I speaking? What am I speaking? I know that we had mentioned before, we have the authority to cast out devils, to heal the sick, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. Hallelujah. I love those things. But I'm telling you what, the believer's authority starts and ends simply with the tongue of what comes out of your mouth. Peter, 1 Peter 5:8 says, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And I've come to learn that when he's, if I'm doing this, let's say I'm in the heavenly realms, but I'm not a good spirit, right? He's listening for words. He's listening for conversations where he can, how can I impact this here? I think if you were here Wednesday, I mentioned it. We have me and Gina have a friend that he pastors a church in Bangkok, Thailand. Him and his wife, great people. Never forget when he was talking about him and his wife had a heated argument. Words that shouldn't be said were said. That night, as he's trying to sleep, all of a sudden there's an evil spirit at the foot of his bed. And he's right away, he says, Lord, why did you let that in? And he said, the Lord quickly spoke to him and said, I didn't let that in, you did. Based upon words. I wonder how many times we rebuke devils and rebuke this and that, but it's been based upon the words we've been saying already. It's been based upon the things we've already been sowing. Based upon the words that are coming out of our mouths. The enemy is looking for somebody to devour, and the way he can look is what's coming out of their mouths. How can I influence this situation? How can I press? How can I speak to their mind to keep talking that way? I'm telling you, when we start talking faith and his promises and his words and his goodness, the devil don't like that. He may try to press. He hates faith. He says, let's go somewhere else. Let's go somewhere else. We can find somebody else that's speaking, casting seed. See, the word is like, we'll see, is like a seed. You know, the good thing is with the Lord, if we can change those things, you know, it's not like you're lost. It's just learning. That's why we learn the word of God. The Lord speaks to our hearts and says, do this differently. I love you. I want to direct your life. I want peace in your life. Strength in your life, purpose in your life. And I'm telling you, it begins first with the words that are coming out of our mouths. The declarations, the things that we are saying. Like I mentioned, many times we're rebuking devils, and we don't need to rebuke them, we just need to start speaking differently. Start speaking differently, and the devil says, I'm out of here. Resist the devil, right? He'll flee. Much of the way we resist him is what's coming. What are we speaking? What are we saying? Amen. He loves us. Lining up with his word. Lining up with his kingdom. Lining up with how he feels about us. Lining up with how he feels with those around us. Out of our mouths. Amen. Satan knows the power of the word. Remember, he spoke to Adam, or to Eve, right? Deceived her. He tried to deceive Jesus too, but did Jesus answer the devil with, I rebuke you? No, he said, it is written. He started declaring the word. See, it's an example for you and I of how we resist the devil. I'm not saying there isn't a time to rebuke Satan. There's not time when people are in bondage and chains. We need to cast the devil off him in Jesus' name. Rebuke the enemy. But for a lot of times, it can be just an understanding of the tongue. Amen. 1 Peter 3:10, New American Standard Bible says, the one who desires life to love and see good days must keep the tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Talking about to see good days, the desires of life. Do you have a desire for life? It's just a growth in process. Say, Lord, thank you for showing me these things. I want to speak those words of truth. The promises of God are yes and amen. Amen. In Corinthians, it says, we believe, therefore we speak. So my question is, what do you believe? Do you believe he's leading and guiding your life? Amen. He wants to lead and guide our lives. Much more than just being born again, he wants to lead and guide our lives into truth. And a lot of that is directed by the things that we say. The things that we say, agreeing with his word, declaration, the declaration of his word. The enemy hates it when he hears us declaring his word over our lives. We're talking about spiritual authority, the believer's authority. And we love the dynamic of the gifts of the Spirit. They're powerful. Amen? It's powerful. But the foundation of that is our day-to-day words as we're growing in him. The foundation of that is our day-to-day words, is what we're saying. It starts to plant things in our lives. Who here desires life? How about you? I desire a good life. And if you're here and you're saying, you know what, I don't know what I desire, let him know that too. Where every individual is, God meets them right there. You may have to say, Lord, I'd like to want a good life. I'd like to be out of this where I'm at, where I even cared about life. Say that. Say, Lord, I want life. I want to want life. I want to want to. You might be here and saying, I want to want to. Speak those things. Start right where you're at. Right where you're at. Lord, I want to want life. Lord, change that in me that I would want what you want for me. Crying out to him with words. The power of words. Amen. Amen and amen. See, well, our words have the power to encourage or bring defeat in our lives or someone else's. Our words have the power to create life or death in ourselves or others. You know, our words have the power to cast vision in our lives or others. Simply words. It's amazing the power of words. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. Is that how it goes? That's a complete lie. Words can be the most devastating, long-term, affecting words that are seen. I had mentioned to you before that I had gotten a prophecy like 30 years ago that I would never speak in front of a crowd. Well, I didn't care, but those were words that went in me, a prophetic word that made me wonder as the years went by, well, I'm not going to be doing that. So then you have desires that are contrary, but something had been planted in me that was an absolute untruth through a prophecy. Words have power for decades in people's lives from when we words are like seeds, as we get going here, we'll see that as we continue that words are like seeds. Amen. Amen. Talking about the words that also plant. The words are our plant. They plant. They're alive. They're seeds. We talk about the word, how it things that say that we say to direct us. Remember the rudder on the ship. Words direct us. We'll believe the words we say. We don't realize it. You know, we'll just say things, but our ears hear that. The enemy hears that. It does. So that rudder, that little rudder that directs us, and then also the word plants. The Lord uses the comparison of his word to a law of nature that is unchangeable, not an institution of man. Here's what I mean. You can cheat or manipulate nearly all systems that man has created. The legal system can be beaten, letting the guilty go free. Our educational system can be beaten, passing students who haven't really learned the material. But you can't change the seed time and harvest. A principle I want to talk about is seed. The word is a seed. 1 Peter 1:23 says, "For ye have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable." That is, through the living and enduring word of God. Right now, as I'm speaking, you know I'm casting out seed. Seed, I hope your heart's receiving it. I hope you're there saying, "I'm receiving seed, Lord. I need this. My heart tells me I need this." Or maybe it's your heart's just saying, "It's just a reminder." But right now, I am casting out seeds. Jesus says, "My words are life." I'm telling you, I'm speaking from the Word of God. My words are life right now. Anybody born again up here that would be speaking this, they would be casting a live seed. My question is to you as I'm casting, are you allowing that seed to go into your heart, to be planted? To be planted, amen? Mark 4, 26 through 29, I want to give you an example. Jesus saying Jesus said he was saying the kingdom of God is like a man who cast seed upon the soil, and he goes to bed at night and gets up daily, and the seed sprouts and grows. How? He himself does not know. The soil produces crops by itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. Now when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has been ready. One thing I'm saying is the words and the things that we declare bring forth fruit. They bring forth light, life. They bring forth things in our life, absolutely. Proverbs 18:21, with the fruit of a person's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied. That's the being, the inner part of your man, your being. Not talking about eating a juicy steak. The fruit of a person's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied. He will be satisfied with the product of his lips. The product? That means something's being grown. That means something is coming to life. That means something at some point is going to bring forth nourishment or going to bring forth a direction that's going to be fulfilled in your life. Planting those things in the Word of God is very, very important. The other thing I think about is, what am I allowing to be planted in my heart? The words. What do you listen to that are seed? Years ago, I was working in the yard, and I started realizing that seed, the word being seed, as I was pulling weeds. Ever done that? My favorite being the Arizona beach ball, which is a tumbleweed. I don't care what you spray on them. They don't die. I mean, I put Roundup on them. They said, that's suntan spray. Yeah. But I started realizing that came from a seed. That weed came from a seed. Right? And so as I started thinking that, I started thinking, Lord, about in my life, Lord, is there things planted in me that are weeds? Because I'm telling you, we all can have that to some degree. The things that we are listening to, what are they planting in us? You think of the news, right? Things that we we start believing year after year indoctrination. I'm just going to say it. Indoctrination. And we're just glossed over. Things have been planted in us that we just go along with what's said. What's being planted in our schools around this country? What we're seeing right now is a result of a harvest. Because that's the way it works. That's the way it works. The untruths, division, lies. It's somebody else's fault. God's not real. All these things. You're on your own. Nobody cares for. No, these are things that Satan says to all of us. But when it's put into schools and universities and homes, that's what starts to sprout. That's what we are dealing with, is we're dealing with a fruit that's been planted by words for decades, where maybe I was asleep and not even thinking about it, to be honest. But it's here now. So what we're doing now is standing up. We're declaring now opposite. Lord, thank you for doing something in this generation. We thank you, Jesus. It's not too late. If my people will humble themselves and pray. How about those scriptures declaring those truths? Amen. Standing up for truth. Can't put our head in the sand, because then we're lost forever. We've got to stand up and declare. Take action. Amen. If all the believers believed in the effects of words and everything, stood up and started declaring, things would change instantly. But when you have things planted in you that are lies, like, well, Jesus is going to come back any day, so that's just the way it is, just hang on. Those are things that have been planted in people's lives that are an absolute lie. But if we'll stand up and say, Lord, we will begin to declare again. How about in your life, what are you declaring, regardless of where you're at? Begin to declare opposite as we'll go. Well, I'll get ahead of myself. It says in Isaiah 43, 11 and 12, and to get into what do we declare? What do we say? Lord, I want that pink Cadillac. I declare that. Go lay hands on it I don't know. I'm not going there today, but it says in Isaiah 43, 11 and 12, I am the Lord. And there is no Savior besides me. Jesus is the only way. Amen? It is I who have declared and saved and proclaimed. Who is that? Who's saying that? That's God. Amen? That's God the Father saying, I've declared and proclaimed over you. And there was no strange God among you. So you are my witness, declares the Lord, and I am God. Say no strange God, meaning saying, hey, I only Jesus can save. I only Jesus can set you free. I'm the one that's declaring this over your life. And so what it is when we declare, say, Lord, we're declaring, we're speaking your word regarding us out of our mouths, because you declare it and I'm agreeing with your word. Amen? So we say, declare it. The enemy says, I don't want no part of that. They know the word. They know they're standing on the word of God. They're declaring truth. They're casting seed out of their own mouths that goes right into their heart, their ears, and goes right into their own hearts and brings forth fruit. Lord, we thank you for seed, the seed of the Word of God. It's so important that we understand the power of words. See, it says in John 6:63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh provides no benefit. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. I've come to realize, as I've been married a lot of years now, that the biggest impact on my marriage are my words. They're my words. Absolutely. I can rebuke, I can fast, I can pray, I can do all of this, but if my words, what I'm sowing, doesn't line up with God and the truth, it doesn't give a hill of beans. Isn't that a bummer? It was funny, during the last couple days when I knew I was going to preach this, different circumstances came up. I said, this is the first perfect example. What's going to come out of my mouth? The things when my emotions raise up. The biggest thing to an impact of marriage, if you're married, is what's coming out of your mouth. What you're saying is determining what impact the enemy's having. I've learned that as I started speaking opposite, as me and my wife have grown, and it's easy when you're married or you get to know familiarity with people in church or your leaders even, It's easy just to start picking out the faults and casting weeds, putting people down, doing those things. I'm learning that if you want to bring forth a happy relationship, start declaring the opposite. Thank you for what you do for me. As the enemy would press against my soul to get upset and start saying stuff, I start saying the opposite. And the enemy doesn't want any part of that. So as I start declaring those things opposite, God starts to nourish, begins to plant, begins to build. Things begin to grow, and I eat the fruit of what I planted in my wife, what I planted in my relationships. Your leaders of your church, what comes out of your mouth is so important. It'll dictate whether this church will thrive or not, what you're saying, because it's seed and it's alive. So pray, say, help that guy up there. Help him, Lord, bless him. He doesn't see it yet, but thank you for blessing him and helping him. You can rebuke all the devils you want, but if you're a talebearer and sowing seeds, it won't mean a hill of beans. I hate to say that, but it's so true. It's very true. The most powerful thing we have against the enemy is what we're declaring. When you're feeling down about your own salvation, Lord, thank you that I'm born again. Thank you that you love me since the foundations of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that if Chad would believe in him, he would not perish but have everlasting life. Lord, I thank you that this addiction over my life is going to be broken in Jesus' name. I declare it. Start declaring it yourself. Speaking those things. I don't know how long it'll take, but you're planting seed. You're giving notice to the enemy. You're giving notice to the devil that things are going to change. Amen? As you declare the word of God, as you declare the seed of God, an impact that cannot be stopped because it grows a blade. It grows up. It'll produce fruit. It will produce fruit. I can't tell you how long. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the... You know this scripture. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a plant, like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in his season. But you can't have a fruit in his season until you're planting. Until you're planting. Until you're declaring. Until you're putting those things in. I love this. I'm going to skip down, Bill, to Hosea 10:12 in the New American Standard. Hosea 10:12. Sow for yourselves. Sow. What's seed? That's planting, right? Sowing. You ever sowed any seed before? If you haven't, you've probably seen it. Amen. Sow for yourselves with a view to righteousness. Who's our righteousness? Jesus. Harvest in accordance with kindness. Break up your uncultivated ground, hard ground, saying, Lord Jesus, thank you. I received from you. How do you break up the fallow ground? One of the first ways is start declaring the word of God. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Father God, for your blessing on my life. Thank you that I'm valued. You start declaring the things opposite of what you feel inside. You're in church, you're hearing the word of God, it'll soften your heart. If you allow it, it'll soften your heart. Brothers and sisters, if you allow the word of God, something that brings hope, it'll soften your heart. Thank you, Lord, for softening our hearts. We thank you for a message going out in this day and age that will soften people's hearts. It's called the gospel of grace. The gospel of grace. He loves you. He loves you. So many times people will harden their hearts because they have a misconception of God and who he is, but because of seed that's been planted that wasn't of his goodness. It actually brought forth death and not life. The law. So start planting those good seeds, saying, Lord, thank you for your love for me. Thank you that you want me whole, that you want me healed. You're declaring, you're casting. You don't give up on that. And then when you do blow it, so what? Just keep going. Say, thank you, Jesus, for your forgiveness. And then just start casting that seed again. Start declaring that word again. Break up the uncultivated ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and rains righteousness on you. He came and rained righteousness on us through Jesus Christ. Amen? He is our righteousness. He is our life. Amen. Let me just say here, you may be here saying, I'm paying the consequences I'm reaping what I have sown in the past. I'm paying the piper now. You may be looking out on your life and say, man, I see what I see planted and everything is just, it's overwhelming. Sometimes when people start to realize this word about planting and about declaring the word of God, and that the word of God directs your life, they'll look out and say, yeah, but I planted all this stuff already. Let me tell you, God can take care of all that stuff. He's your reward. He's your strength. Don't let the enemy tell you, well, you're going to have to pay the piper first. Just start sowing seed now. And God, by His Holy Spirit, will start pulling out those other plants, those weeds. He'll start pulling them out. He may be pulling some out right now in your life. He may be pulled through the Holy Spirit, pulling up those lies, those things that have kept you back, those things that you believe that are absolutely not true. If we believe things that are not true, it'll keep us in addiction. It'll keep us in the poorhouse. It'll keep us sick. It all has to do with what's been planted in our lives. And then we take that and we go out and give it to other people. Seed that's maybe not true. Seed that would true today is He loves you. He died for you. He wants to destroy you. He did not make hell for you. He made it for the devil and his angels. I don't care what you've done, He can restore you. I don't care what you've done, He can restore you. I don't care how long it's been, He can restore you. Amen? I don't care how long you've been sick, He can heal you. I don't care how long you've been unemployed, He can bless your life. So that seed time and harvest, just know that He's the one that can pull those things out. But our job is to start planning. We start planning. Sometimes we'll wait and just say, okay, Lord, I'll give you a few minutes. No, tell yourself, tell your heart, this is the way it's going to be from now on. Starts with this. If you will confess the Lord Jesus out of your mouth, right, and believe in thy heart that He's been raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Let it come out of your mouth. Jesus, I believe in You. It's that simple. It doesn't have to be a long, serenading prayer. Jesus, I believe in You. Jesus, I believe in You. In situations, Jesus, I believe in You. All things work together for good. I don't care what it looks like, Lord. You're going to bring it about. Lord, You're going to bless me. You're going to lead and guide me. You're going to bring me exactly where You want me to be. Lord, You're going to bless my business. Lord, You're going to bless my health. Lord, You're going to bless my job. Lord, You're going to bless my children. I had mentioned this scripture before. I had read from Isaiah 43, 11 and 12 about declaring, right? Well, I saved this for last because this is what God had declared. He said, this is what I declare. So if you don't mind, let your ears be open today. Hear what God was declaring over you and me. Isaiah 43, 1 through 7. Bill, I don't even know. Not sure I had given it to you. But now, this is God declaring over your life. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who is your creator, Jacob. Aren't we the part of the church? We're part of Israel. We're part of Israel. Amen. We're children of Abraham. Amen. He who is your creator, Jacob, and He who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. Amen. You are mine. Hey, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you belong to Him. It doesn't matter what you're hearing or other people have told you. You belong to Him. That's what the Word of God says. Start declaring that. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. That doesn't sound like God. Whatever will be, will be. That doesn't sound like it'll all work out. No, it sounds like God will protect us. It sounds like I'm declaring that God, You will be with me. You will protect me. It sounds opposite of whatever will happen, will happen. As we declare, as we agree with His word, as we believe that, as we're not allowed the enemy to lie to us, He brings protection to us. He blesses our relationships. He blesses our lives. He can bless our finances. It's all based upon what you believe and what you're declaring. Amen. Verse 3, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I have given Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you. Since you are precious in my sight, since you are honored and I love you. This is God speaking to us, speaking to his children in love. I will give other people in your place and other nations in exchange for your life. You are more important than anything else in this world to God. You're the most precious commodity God has ever made. Amen. Do not fear, for I am with you. I'm not asking for God to be with me. I'm declaring that he is with me. I will bring your offspring from the east. Amen. This is good for some people here. Let's believe this together. Talking about children, grandchildren, family. I will bring your offspring from the east. Didn't say he might. Didn't say he'll think about it. We're declaring what his word says for you and I, for our families. I will bring your offspring from the east and bring you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring me some. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even who I have made. When he says, I declared this what I before, this is what he declared over you. This is who we are. When we declare these things, it reminds us as we allow these things to be planted in us when the enemy tries to speak to us and say, well, I don't know about that. Some things just happen. That's not what the Word of God says. It's based upon our belief system, what we've allowed to be planted in us. As we allow Him to plant His goodness in us, the Word of God for our lives, do you have an expectation of Him blessing your life so others around you can see the blessing? And I'm not just talking about just money coming falling from the sky, although there's many that God want to bless financially. You know it in your heart already, but God can see the blessing on your life, amen? As you start to declare the Word of God over your life, as the worship team comes up now, as God begins to speak over you, amen? As you allow the Word of God to bathe over you, amen? Planting seed in your lives, planting the truth of the gospel in your life. Can we stand up together? That way some of you can wake up. You stand up, you got to be awake, I think. As the worship team quietly plays, do you believe the words that you say have an impact? We're talking about spiritual authority here today. The most important authority you can have over the enemy and success in your life is what's coming out of your mouth. And it's never too late to change it. I'm praying as this week, as the Lord ministers to your heart, let him speak to you. Let him. It's the Holy Spirit that directs and changes what we say or what we do. He speaks to us. Are we listening? You might hear tomorrow morning, my mercies are new every morning. You declare that. You may feel like you're failed in a certain area and say, Lord, thank you that I'm accepted. I'm your beloved, that I am the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. That's how you make the enemy take a hike. It won't come through just trying to endure. We do endure, but the offense is our tongue. The offense is our tongue. Lord, the words that I've spoken today, I pray become seed. How do you water it? Say, Lord, I believe it. Jesus, I believe it. I believe what I heard today. That's how you do it. Say, Lord, I believe that. When you say, I believe that, that's how that seed gets buried in your heart. I don't know how it works. I've talked about it before, spiritual things in our lives. You can't get on an operating table and they cut you open and say, I see the seed. There it is. It's kind of sick. Give it some nourishment. Oh, nope, there's a hard heart. Let's soften that. No, that's the spiritual things. We're spiritual beings. Amen. I'm telling you, me and you are spiritual beings. And those things that come out of our mouth are spirit, Jesus said, and they are life. Lord, today I just ask that going forward, Lord, that we learn as a people of God, we learn about life, declaring life. Amen? Declaring truth over our lives. Amen. Declaring the word of truth over our lives. Lord, when those things come and press against our soul where we just start, the tables start playing, or things that'll become negative and contrary of the word, Father God, that you'll stop us, arrest us, and we'll say, nope, no more. Devil, take a hike. Listen to this. I'm more than a conqueror in Jesus' name. His blood has washed my sins away in Jesus' name. He's blessed my life. I'm a blessing. Amen. God shall supply all my needs according to the riches and glory. No more of the negative stuff coming out of my mouth. And the enemy's like, yep. And presses against our soul to make it think that that's reality and that's the only way it's going to happen. It's an all complete lie. The enemy, his power is what he can get us to believe. If you think of all the evil in this world, it's through those whom he impresses and works through. That is his only power, is getting us to believe things and act on things or not act at all based upon lies. You believe that today? Father, we thank you for the word of God, the seed of the word of God. Thank you, Father, for blessing your people. I don't know about you, but Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you for blessing your people this week. Lord, thank you for strengthening us this week, Lord. Thank you for the spirit of life in Jesus' name. I declare life in Jesus' name. I declare life in Jesus' name. I declare life in Jesus' name. I don't know about you, but I receive life. Life for my soul. My spirit man coming forward, being charged up, watering the seed that's planted. The spirit man watering the seed that is planted. The tongue directing my life. Last thing, where are you going? What are you saying? The other thing is planting. Planting that seed. Future crop. Life. So we thank you for that today, Lord. If the prayer team can come up, those who are going to pray. If you need prayer to someone to agree with you today, well, how the Lord loves you. If you don't know the Lord is your personal Savior. Jesus, it's as easy as this. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. Jesus, I believe that you're coming back for me again. The Lord transforms a life like that. Then the Word of God starts being planted in your heart and God starts doing things in your life. That's how it works. Lord, we thank you for those plantings right now, things that you're planting, visions and dreams, things that you're planting in your people's hearts, Lord. Purpose, Father God. Lord, we thank you for those things that have been planted that have kept us from going forward. Things that lies or things that people are told from the time they're young that still keep them back. Lord, we thank you for uprooting those lies in Jesus' name. And the word of God being planted, Father, unto purpose. And we thank you for that today. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. If you need prayer.